We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
A touch in your body. You need someone to agree with you about something. You need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. Come on up. Let them touch. Let them pray for you. Let them pray for you. Jesus.
In my life, be lifted high in our world. Be lifted high in our love. Be lifted high, higher and higher in my life.
Come on, let's worship Jesus.
Be lifted high in our world. Lifted high in
our love,
be lifted.
Jesus, we love you today. We worship you. We give you praise.
Higher in my life, be lifted high in our world.
Hallelujah.
Be lifted. Hallelujah. High in our love. Be lifted.
Would you put that scripture up there for Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, if I gave that to you? What time is it? 10:49. We're still okay. Would you just relax in God's presence with me? Go ahead and be seated. You guys continue to play. I might have you guys come, the prayer team, would you go to the back? And I'm going to give another something, another invitation about something in the back. We're going into a series about being alive, fully alive, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And there's a scripture, it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It says forbearance there, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. In other words, there's no rival when the fruit of the Spirit is at work in your life. It's not one of them. Oh, I'm good at the joy one, or I'm good at the peace one, or I'm good at the love one. It's a fruit. It's one fruit that Jesus had. He had them. They're all. It's all one big package. We say, oh, I'm good at one or the other. We're probably just not good at any of them. If we can't be good at all of them, we're not good at any of them. That's the way I like to explain it. But God wants to see us all fully alive. He wants to see us alive in Him. Some people would call it alive in Christ, alive in Jesus. Some would say filled with the Holy Spirit. That would be a good way to say it too. But there's so much more to our walk with Jesus than just getting by. And God would want to anoint you with, I've never said this before, but the fruit of the Spirit on your life. Some of you would say, this is how you know someone needs it. You say, oh, they need it. Or, yeah, that's what my husband needs. Or that's what my dad needs. Or that's what, no, you. He wants to anoint you with the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Aren't you so tired of Christians, believers, the church, not displaying something different than the world in the way we do things? Part of that is being filled with the Holy Spirit, being open to the Holy Spirit. Some of you have never opened your heart up to, you know, this is not part of the day, but I gotta say this. I'm so sorry, Bethany. I kicked over your tea so much. I've heard it said, you know, the Holy Spirit, you walk with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's with you when you get saved. You can have the Spirit with you, on you. But there's truly a biblical reference for the Holy Spirit being in us and being full of the Holy Spirit and being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Baptized is not a word we use anywhere else but church. Baptism just means I could take the tea and I could pour it all over you. That would be being baptized, being soaked, being fully immersed. There's definite reference in the Bible that it's not for yesterday, it's for today, to be fully immersed in the Holy Spirit in your life, where you're able to walk and it's able to just kind of drip on other people. And the fruit of the Spirit is a proof of God being on you. But there's another level, and that's being baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's not ever a time and place in church. Definitely not on Easter. You don't want to offend people, but yeah, you do kind of want to offend. But we're the Sunday after Easter. But if you're here today and you want to start a journey towards being fully immersed in the Holy Spirit, I don't have time for this right now, but I just know that I need to invite you to just start that journey. And it may be just one or it might be two. But if you're here and maybe it was when you were young that you felt like, oh yeah, I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 8 and a half. And then nothing in your life it's not like it was that when it happened. You need more of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's what you need. It's like when you're thirsty, you need another drink, you need another drink. And it's not going to get weird in the room. I just want to make this step. You need to take the step. And now you're all sitting, so it's kind of make it hard for you. Huh? How do you do that? Should I tell them to all stand? I always overthink things, so I ask Cynthia. Just get out of your seat and go to the back. And you guys back here, when they come to you, you're not entering into a dedication of an hour of prayer. You're entering into about a 2-minute, 3-minute prayer. You're going to pray baptism of the Holy Spirit on their life and that they would be open to what God does this week in their life, okay? And then you also be open to prophetically speak over them because there might be something else that God wants to say too. Like, don't put this on me. Yeah, I talked to all these prayer people earlier this week. They're ready for this. So just get out of your seat, go to the back, and let them pray for you. I'll take a moment. Take a moment. I have to be obedient to Jesus when he asked me to do something. And so this is maybe your opportunity. Maybe you've had this opportunity before. I'll just be quiet. Just get out of your seat. Get out of your seat and go back, and they're going to pray for you. If I need more people back there, I'll ask some of you to help me. In fact, Thomas, would you just go back in case you need it. Come on, just don't be shy. I'd say don't feel awkward, but I know it might be a little bit of a step for you. God wants to do something new in your life today. Oh, you say that all the time. He really does. we have to be vigilant about this walk we're in, because I don't know how long until Jesus comes back. I don't know how long. And I want everyone to be reached. And he uses you and he uses me. We got to be ready for it. We got to be open. And if in any time during this next part, if you need to get up and go do what I just invited you to, you can. But I'm going to just kind of talk about a couple other things. You know, there was a movie that came out this week. I could be super relevant and say my sermon today is called Endgame. I didn't write this down, but I could totally relate it. And I could also call it another great movie that I actually encourage you to go see, and that's called Breakthrough. Breakthrough is a movie about a little boy who dies, true story, falls in the ice, dies, and then his mom prays him back to life. And I actually am friends with the pastor of that church, and St. Charles is where I grew up, and it didn't happen while I was there. It just happened about 3 years ago. I never, not that movies are bad, but I never talk about a movie at church, but you should all go see it. I cried through the whole thing. I'm a critic. I think, oh, it's a Christian movie, bad acting. It was powerful. Go see it. But I could call it Breakthrough today because what we're talking about is a fundamental part of our walk with Jesus that we forget about. And if you could get this one, it would be a breakthrough in every area. The fruit of the Spirit. Oh, that's a pretty picture. Fruit in your life, if you can get it. It's the end game of our lives. If you could just do this, what is your end game? What are you about? What are you going towards? What is your point? It's to be fruitful in my life. If you could get this, it would change so many other areas. I could talk about addiction. I could talk about anger. I could talk about marriage problems. I could talk about being bored at church. And all of these things would be taken care of by making your end game to be fully alive in Jesus, to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. So I don't really have a title today. Fruit alive. Make fruit your end game. See a breakthrough in your life. But would you pray with me? And thank you guys. I'll call you back up again. Jesus, we're so thankful for your touch on our lives. We're so thankful that you are real. Lord, I pray for anyone in this room today who is questioning whether you are real or not to them, that they would know that you are the real thing. That it wouldn't take a fancy service. It wouldn't take a special song. It wouldn't take a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for them to realize, oh man, I gotta get my heart in tune with you because you are so real to me. Lord, I speak to every man and every woman, every teenager in this room, especially. And I say, Holy Spirit, would you invade us? Would you, not in a scary way, but with your fruit, with your spirit, with your love, with your peace, with your joy. Let us be people who walk with boldness. Let our worship to you happen everywhere we go. That we would never be characterized by, oh, they're just doing what they have to do. Let it not be a have to, oh, we should, we need to, I could have, I would have. Let it be I must be about my Father's business, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, my brother. My daughter, Reagan, she's right. I'm trying to lift this with one hand, but just a second. Watch this. Watch this amazing display of manhood. Okay, thank you. My daughter, We will always ask her if she wants to go to church early or do you want to come later. And she always tells us, I want to come. Make sure to wake me up. I don't want to miss something. She wants to come early. And sometimes she's here like 2-3 hours early. And it's not that she's such a great Christian, because she's not. She's really, like, bad, really. But no, not true. Not true. She's got a heart for God, and you can't teach it to them. And all my kids do. It's just a different, you know, they have different personalities and they display it in different ways. But she's got a heart for God, and it's what we need. It's when we come to church, it shouldn't be a downer. It should be an upper. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm so excited for what God is doing at New Song. We had 500 or more come to our Easter egg con. We probably had 250, 280 people on Easter Sunday at church. We had 10,000 eggs that we hid. I was reading about the Pasadena Rose Bowl. That's where we used to live out there in San Gabriel Valley. And they had a big Easter egg hunt for the city, and they had 30,000 eggs for theirs. We had 10,000 just for our church. It was awesome. And you say, well, why are numbers important? Well, God cares about numbers. No, he doesn't. Yes, he does. You know, he wrote a whole book in the Bible called Numbers. And it's really a boring book. It's all about all these different numbers. But it's because God cares about numbers. Mean people. God cares about people, and if we planted some seeds and even one person gets two steps closer to Jesus, anything that we do in this church, anything that you do in your walk with Jesus is worth it. It is worth it. That's your goal. That's your end game. I won't say it again. I saw the movie last. I ended at 11 o'clock last night, so it was kind of in my mind. Although this morning I filled my spirit with worship music. It's, you know, there you go, Angela. It is your end game to touch people around you, and it's so important. And I just want to thank all those who helped in some way during that week of Easter. We did so many things that weekend. That's what our family is all about at New Song, is being a part. And we often get mixed up and think coming to church is for us. That's what we do. We think coming to church is for us. You're like, wait, I'm confused. I think I just heard him say, we think it's for us. It is for us. Yes, yes, and no. We get so mixed up. And we become consumers. And God has called the family of New Song. He's called the church at large, the unstoppable church, to be not consumers. He didn't call you to be a consumer, to come to church to get. Oh, to get. It's not Walmart. It's not the spiritual Walmart. You come here. Oh, it's on sale too today. Oh, I'll take some of that. Thank you. We come to be givers. We come to be ministers. We come to church also knowing, so it's going to, you have to think with me, the church is the church, but it's also the people. It's the people. So you come to be with people, you to be a minister, to be a giver, to be a worshiper. That's why we're here. I could go so far as to say that Easter or any other service is not a win for us if we say, oh, pastor, great service. You go home and you talk about it on the way home. Wasn't the pastor's shirt look just like that guy from that nerdy movie? Yeah. Yep. We talk about that. It's not a win if you go home and say it was a great service. It's a win if we've all been a part and we give of ourselves, because God created you. He created me to be a worshiper. He created us to be worshipers with our lives. God created us to be worshipers, living sacrifices. There's a scripture that talks about it being our bare-boned, our reasonable act of service to make our lives worship. In fact, I think I'll go full King James Version on you, and I'll read it to you. Do we have King James Version in our computer even? It's found in Romans. Oh, there it is. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you. I say that word often. Do you say it a lot too? I know we all say. I beseech you, meaning, I looked it up. I ask you and I implore you urgently and fervently. Therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye, in other words, because right before that, therefore, you ask what it's there for. You look at what was there before. It was the doxology right before this. Praise God, to whom all blessings flow. He is on us. He is in us. He has done so much for us. Therefore, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, except holy. That means not sinning, which that's a good reminder for us. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is the strongest thing you could ever do. No, your reasonable act of service, your reasonable service. That's the King James Version. That's why it feels so good in our spirits when we give of ourselves. Have you ever done something and it was meant to be for others and you were meant to be like helping, but then when you got done, you felt good about it? You felt like, what just happened? Instead of feeling tired, which... and there's times we get tired, and that's a more, there's more to it. Maybe it's because you didn't drink enough water, you didn't get enough sleep the night before, or you just worked really hard. There's nothing wrong with getting tired. But sometimes you'll do something and you'll be done. And often people will say this to me, I bet you're going to go take a nap. And I'm like, I don't want to take a nap. I'm like rejuvenized. I feel rejuvenized. Is that a word? I'm rejuvenized. I'm rejuvenated because I was worshiping. I wasn't working. I was worshiping. That's what God's called us to. That in his presence is fullness of joy. Any of you that noticed when you maybe you made cotton candy or mopped floors or hid eggs this last week, you felt joyous because you made it worship. Ever wonder why being selfless fills you up instead of drains you? Because it's worship. Worship fills you spiritually. Worship fills you mentally, emotionally, psychologically, in all ways. When you're in God's presence, it does something. Does something to you. And what I'm sharing right now is all intro to fruit in your life. This is like the starting point. But it's also something that the most mature Christian forgets. I'm not one of the most mature, but I forget. So I assume that, Tim, you would forget at times. So these are reminders. And I think what I have a series of just things that I feel like I needed to get out first from the Holy Spirit to someone in the room. So I'm kind of like searching what to say next. But... when your attitude is, God, use me, I am yours, let my life be worship to you, he blesses it and makes you fruitful. When your attitude is that. When your attitude is not, I think he's like, I want to bless you. You're just not very blessable, right? You're more, you get on my nerves. No, God doesn't say that. We get on other people's nerves, but we never get on God's. He wants us to be in an attitude of, God, use me. And then he says, okay, here comes the fruit in your life. Here comes your tree. It's going to grow up, and it's actually going to have fruit on it. It's not going to be one of those ugly trees in your backyard that say, my whole life we had a plum tree, and we told everyone, oh, yeah, I was proud of it. That's an apple tree, apple, apricot. That's our grapes. It was in Missouri. That's our peaches, and that's our plums. We didn't have peaches. I just made that one up. We didn't have peaches in Missouri. And there was never plums on the plum tree. It was the ugliest tree. And every time I vacuumed or every time I, what am I trying to say, mowed the lawn, I would run into this stupid tree and it would poke me and it would make me bleed because it was all prickly and it's no good. You want to be a tree that's fruitful. You want to be, you want to give God the opportunity, and the Spirit would say to someone today, uh-oh, here it comes, would say to someone, and I would venture to say more than one, don't ever come to the house in obligation. It's the house of God. Don't ever come in, oh, I have to go. God would rather us, and I'm not saying it because I talked to someone this week that was getting I probably did talk to someone like that, but that didn't inspire me. I think it's a good reminder to us. It's the foundation of a fruitful life. You don't come into the house of God. You don't go into worship with God, which could be anywhere you are, in obligation. You go and you call it worship. I was glad when they said unto me, David was one of the best worshipers. I think he even worshiped one time without his clothes on all through the city. God wants to see some of you do that. No, I'm just kidding. He did. He did that once. He got so crazy about God and he was worshiping. And maybe crazy is not the right word. I think he was just, it's weird. I can't really explain that one. But he was said one time in Psalms, I believe he probably wrote it, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house. Let us go up. He says, Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 2:3. He said, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. He even called the presence of God the mountain. He wasn't literally saying, everybody come to the mountain with me. He was saying the presence of God, being in God's house, being with God's people, is going up. It's like you're going up into the mountains because you get closer to God. When you get closer to God's people, you get closer to God. It's called fellowship. It's not just talking about a movie that you saw last night. It's talking about Jesus, and it's encouraging each other, and it's praying for each other. It's always an up, never a down. If you forget everything else I said today, know that, because Jesus told the people, when it becomes a law, when it becomes a duty, when it becomes a requirement, when it becomes a downer, he didn't say it that way, Debbie Downer, you guys know that, we'll talk about it, becomes a downer, that kind of worship is useless. That's what Jesus says about it. And that's why I always tell myself, and I didn't understand the scripture before, these Old Testament things, they're sometimes like, what are you talking about? But it says, open up the gates. It's not talking about the gates of your city. We don't have any gates. I don't even have a gate in my life. I think I have a gate at our house, but open up the gates. He's talking about the gates of your eyes, the gates of your mouth, the gates of your emotions. Open up your gates to God. Those gates are where evil comes in when you see evil things, but they're also the parts where the Holy Spirit comes in when we open up our gates to him. There's another scripture that says, bless the Lord, O my soul. I say that to myself when I don't want to be a pastor on a Sunday. I say, bless the Lord, you soul. I'm talking to myself. Bless the Lord, O soul. And all that is within me, let it magnify Jesus. Because I don't want to be a consumer, me, Christian. Consumer, me. What for me? Jesus called consumer, me, Christians hypocrites. That's what Jesus called them. He actually quoted Isaiah that we just talked about. He quoted Isaiah in, and I want to show it to you so you don't think I'm just making it up, Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 through 8. He said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You're a bunch of hypocrites. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 through 8. Well did Isaiah, I'll read it to you. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you. He didn't say, well, did Isaiah prophesy about you? No, he said, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people, oh, there we go. Thank you, my brother. These people honor me with their lips. Ooh, it's no fun. I don't like this. They draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I don't want to be that kind of, do you? That kind of person comes from inside. Going to church, being the church, serving, outreach, events, all those things that we do at New Song and other churches, everyone does them. They're not like a new thing. Nothing's new under the sun. All of these things make up our family. And they're meant to be there to have fun. Yes, they are. But they're meant to be there so that we can be family. Yes, they are. But they're really truly meant there to be worship to Jesus. That's why we do what we do. That's why the church at large does. We do it all unto God for his glory. They are an up, not a down. They are an outward expression of what God is doing in us. An outward expression is powerful when that outward expression is coming out of a heart that wants to be a giver, wants to be a server, wants to be a minister. They are our fruit. When you look at someone and you see worship through the way they live, you see fruit in their lives. You see them being alive. That's what we're meant to be. And that's what we're experiencing in the family of New Song. And I have three challenges for you. It's a powerful love. Love is a fruit, right? Part of the fruit. It's a powerful love of God working through the service and the worship of his people. And when that happens, watch out, because people who don't know Jesus or didn't like Jesus are going to start liking him, because they're like, whoa, that doesn't make sense that they would act like this. Look at their life. They have all kinds of messed up things going on in their family and stuff, but they still somehow are able to give God praise and make their lives worship. Can you tell me a little bit more about what do you got? Well, it's Jesus, right? You're like, uh-oh, are you going to make me get on the microphone? You shouldn't even have to. I mean, that's great if you go out and do it. You go door to door. I've done that. It's painful at times. Go and knock on. I want to tell you about Jesus. Okay, no. I want to tell you about Jesus. Well, I don't want you. That's painful. But sometimes you'll see amazing things. I've seen amazing things going door to door. But you want people to come to you and say, what's going on? What's with your family? How come they're so great, Derek? I mean, like, it doesn't make sense. Derek, you're not the greatest. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't make sense. They're amazing. They're worship to your family in itself is worship to the world around them. One of my sons missed church last week. Well, no. Then you're missing it. There, if your heart is open and you call your life worship, you become an actor in a show at school, which he did. Isaac, he was Joseph in Joseph and the Technicolor. That's called worship to God, and people will see that and they'll say, what's with you? I know you're great at that stuff, but why are you different? That's what you want to see. You want people to see. That's what we want them to see, the fruit in our lives. Our worship team here, they are a perfect example as they and of course, because they're front and center all the time, so you see it. You see them giving, they're expressing what's inside of them in their worship to God. And it blesses you because they're calling it worship. It's a real easy gig to call worship because it's called worship at church. So I'm going to give you three challenges. Worship team, would you come on up? And we're gonna close out the service in a little bit here. Here's the three challenges. Number one, and it's going to hit everyone in the room. Everyone in the room. To lay a foundation in your life, or relay a foundation, or to restart, or to get back up on the horse of serving Jesus. I don't know how else to say it. You must have fruit in your life. You must be alive. And here are the three challenges I want to give. One is this. If you're here today and you feel no conviction whatsoever, you feel like, that's what I'm doing. I'm encouraged. I love it. Well, then keep it up. Keep serving. Keep loving. Keep living for Jesus. Keep allowing the Holy Spirit to use you to be the kind of worshipers Romans 12:1 talks about. Keep doing it. You know, some people worship in all kinds of ways. It's not just in doing worship. There was a lady who worshiped last week, Victoria. I don't know if she's here today. She worshiped by making 200 cinnamon rolls for our church family and those who showed up. She worked all day Friday and Saturday to get that ready. She came early on Sunday morning. That was worship to God. She likes to bake. That's her worship. You like to do all kinds of things that you can use your gifts to worship him. And the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, on and on, comes out in those things that you do with your life. They will come out and people will say, how come you're so amazing at cooking? Because that's what Cynthia does. She's just a hospitable person. Well, she's gifted. She's like talented, but she's walking in the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is on her life. So when she makes a cookie, it's not just a cookie. It's gentleness, kindness, self-control. It comes out. It does. It really does. If you're a eater, you that speaks to you right now. Whatever it is that you do, it'll come out. The fruit will come out in your life. So number one, keep it up, keep serving, keep loving if that's you. Number two, if you are new to God's family, or I call it a rededication or a restart, and you're on a journey to figure out what you think of Jesus at this point in your life, what you think of God, know he is patient. And you will know that you're on the right journey. You'll know that you're going the right way when you feel his touch on your life. You'll feel alive, because Jesus at Easter didn't come to make bad people good. That's not what we're all trying to do. Let's just be good. Let's try to be good. He didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. That's what he did. And he's going to do that in your life. You're going to see it more and more, and you're going to start to see, oh, I felt dead here and this, but I'm starting to feel alive. It's the bedrock. It's the fundamental of being a Christian. And I say, number three, this one, it hurts a little. Put everyone in this boat just for a minute, and then ask yourself afterwards, maybe he wasn't talking to me. Instead of maybe he is, just say maybe he wasn't. So let's all be in this boat. Number three, if you're on the fence about everything, you're just not sure about certain things, and you're on the fence, and you haven't made sense of everything, well, get off the fence. Get off the fence, get out on a limb, and watch God do something in your life. Would you stand with me today? Get a bit uncomfortable. This is where you'll see the wind of God on your sails. When you step out, that's where Peter stepped out. If he didn't step out, he wouldn't have walked on the water. And you say, well, I never walked on water. Well, you probably never stepped out very much. I know a couple that's stepping out right now, and they stepped out in the water, and it wasn't because of them, but they kind of got a little wet. They didn't enjoy that very much. But you stepped out, and that's what God likes. Because I think sometimes we think, oh, come on, God, are you going to do your thing? Do your thing, like the pastor guy said. Or do your thing like I read in the Old Testament, like you did with Elisha or Elijah or with Pete, you know, all those things. The guy that went to he prayed for him, the guy got healed. Do that with me. And Jesus would say, well, I'm waiting on you before I do what I'm going to do. It's called faith. God would encourage someone today to start stepping out. There's a scripture that says, as they went, that's when they got healed. The folks, after he told them what to do, as they went, that's when they got healed. It doesn't say, oh, they were so afraid, so they didn't do anything, then they got healed anyways. No, as they went, you might be waiting on God. God might be waiting on you. You're thinking, oh, do it. And he's thinking, in your situation, I'm waiting on you before he moves on your situation. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us as we close today? Would you cause us not to be the kind of Christians that look like the plum tree in my backyard, but look like the apricot tree where we sold boxes and boxes of the fruit because they grew so much? Can I ask you a question? I got this picture. Can you imagine wanting to be fruitful. Like you just want to be fruitful so bad. And you plant the seed. Maybe you're planting, maybe it's a fruit tree, and you plant the seed. And then you're expecting apples that day. You just look at it, and you're like, I'm so hungry. I want my apple now. Where is it at? It'd be silly. It'd be silly to do that, because you plant the tree, and then you got to go out and water it. You have to go out when it gets windy and put a stick so it doesn't fall over. You have to go out and tend to it. And that's how we think God moves. Sometimes we think, oh, you do it all. And he says, you do a little. You do a little, and you start to do water. You start to spend time with me, all these kind of things. And then you'll see the fruit come. But you got to do something yourself. Then you say, wow, the tree became alive. Oh, it's almost like it was overnight. Now there's fruit. And you would never go and tell someone, I did nothing. You probably did a lot to make that happen. But also God did some of that. He shined his light on it and did his thing. He's going to do that for you today. He's going to do that in your life. And so like right now, Lord, we pray that we would display your fruit in our lives. We don't have time to get into it this week. But Lord, we thank you for all of the fruit of the Spirit. And we want them in our lives. We want to see them proclaimed in our lives. Can we sing this together? In my life, be lifted high. In my world, be lifted high. In our love, be lifted high. In our fruit, in our lives, be lifted high. We love you, Jesus. Let's worship him together.
In my life, be lifted high.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.